verse number 14. Here tonight is our opening scripture. Scripture we're going to use for our text tonight. Second Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 14. Oh, well, I'll read it to you. You'll have to listen closely. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. Praise God. You can be seated. Glory to the King. One portion of Scripture, and it is actually the close of the epistle, 2 Corinthians, and it's the closing statement of the Apostle Paul to the believers. And I'm about to preach for 45 minutes or an hour from this one verse and everything it says to us in just one verse. When we start looking at what it said and the desire that God has for His children, for His people, for His believers. Paul didn't just say this to be taken up just a little bit more room on the piece of parchment. He said this because this is what God wants to do in the lives of a believer. I want to preach tonight on greatly influenced. I remember, you may not think this pertains, but maybe it does, maybe it doesn't, but I remember a story that Brother William Hill shared while he was preaching one time at convocation there in Neosho, Missouri. And he also shared it in a book that he had written also. But he was talking about the reality of how our emotions can be moved. And he was listening to the radio, and all of a sudden a story came on the radio. And it began to bring tears and sorrow and joy and all the story that they were sharing. It was influencing him greatly. And when it got to the end of the story, it was a dog food commercial. And I didn't tell it in its entirety, but the reality of how we can be influenced sometimes by many different things, and sometimes we don't even know what the end result of what's influencing us will be, but yet how easily influenced we can become. But tonight I want to talk about being greatly influenced by Jesus Christ. Being greatly influenced by Almighty God. Being greatly influenced by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. To where we are moved to the point of immediate obedience. How many times have you run into this scenario? You ask the boy to take out the trash. Then he doesn't do it. This is what I have found, even in my own personal life experience. Oh, I forgot. Woo. So I had to influence the memory. It really amazes me how something like the Board of Education has great influence. it amazes me. I've spanked several children throughout my course of school year, and it has always amazed me the influence that it has, the change that it brings about. Amen. And from that point forward, for a little while, they are immediate to obedience. It only lasts for a little while. Imagine that. So, tonight, we're starting slow here, but we're going somewhere great. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Greek word. Sister Lindsay likes to study out Greek and Hebrew, so I'm taking her influence, and I'm going to butcher this Greek word. Charis, the grace, the charis of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. And that word charis means graciousness of manner or act, figurative or spiritual. Especially, this is the one I'm after, especially the divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in the life, including gratitude. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. God's grace. That divine influence upon the heart that then is revealed or reflected in my behavior, in my life. Hallelujah. As I was reading this and I was preparing this, the reality of, you know, the definition of grace is most of the time called unmerited favor. But I want you to understand tonight, that does not do grace justice. Because it really means a divine influence upon the heart that brings a change in my life, is what grace really means. Hallelujah. It means unmerited favor because of the very fact that God is going to move in such a manner and such a way, and by that glorious power, that it's going to influence my heart, influence my life, and there's going to be a change in my life because of the grace of an almighty God. And so we've got to get this understanding about grace, because most understanding about grace today is that I can commit sin, and then because of grace I can go ask forgiveness. That's not what grace is. Matter of fact, sometimes you're not going to find that. Because if you willfully sin, oh my, you're putting yourself in great jeopardy with your Savior, your King, and your Lord. If you know to do good and do it not, then you don't understand grace. Because grace is divine influence. It brings obedience into my life, a change in my behavior. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, let me read you another portion of Scripture tonight in Titus chapter number 2, verse number 11. Hallelujah. I've preached from this portion of Scripture throughout my ministry multitudes of times because the majority of, quote unquote, the church world does not understand grace. They do not understand the power thereof. This is why the Apostle Paul said, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Woo, why? Because he's wanting power in our lives. He's wanting change in our lives. He's wanting divine influence that transforms our behavior. That's what he was saying. Hallelujah. That Jesus Christ would continually be there in your life, changing your life, transforming your life. Oh, did you not get all that when you read that? Oh, hallelujah. Well, that's why I'm preaching about it tonight. Glory. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Looking for that blessed hope, we've been talking about that, and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, Sister Sarah was testifying about it, that he might redeem us from all iniquity. We sing about it tonight. Purifying unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Hallelujah. That's grace. That's that divine influence of God. We didn't merit it. No, but that doesn't really share the fullness of what God has intended for mankind, and especially those that believe. Grace produces change. Grace produces zeal for unselfishness. Can I put it like that? Zealous of good works. That means I'm zealous to be unselfish. I'm zealous to work for somebody else, to help somebody else, to do for somebody else. Hallelujah. You're going to find that grace brings about a gigantic work ethic. Not a working out so you can be saved, a gigantic work ethic, working because I am saved. Hallelujah. Because I've been washed, I've been cleansed, he died in my place, and now I want to do. Woo! Glory to our God. This is why we find, as human beings, we find pleasure in accomplishing things. Yeah, you set out to build something. You find pleasure while you're doing it. And then when it's done, you find pleasure gratefulness and the reality of what was accomplished. Look what I have accomplished. A sense of accomplishment. My, don't you just love it, kids, when you do well on your test? And you studied hard and you did well. Doesn't that make you feel good? Or does it make you feel bad? Don't tell me it don't make you feel nothing, because that ain't right. No. Oh, how's it make you feel when you do bad? And you know you didn't study. How's that make you feel? Not real good when Brother Prepper gets done with you. No. But the sense of accomplishment when you have studied and you do well. Oh, how about this? You studied, you prayed and asked God to help you remember, and you made 100. Woo! Now, how would that make you feel? Some say, I don't know, it hasn't happened yet. Some know exactly what I'm talking about, because it happened. Hallelujah. I saw it in the look on their face. I did. Woo! Glory. Oh, that's great. Glory to God. Now, sense of accomplishment. Grace brings about a mighty work ethic in our lives. Adam Clark's commentary on verse number 14, it says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. All the favor. Oh, I can't even say this word. I hate this. Sisters. Oh, it is and it ain't. That's the hard part about it, and the sad part about it, and the humbling part about it. So I'm just going to bypass it. Praise God. You know, Sister Pepper, a long time ago, she said, if you don't know how to say a word, look it up in the dictionary and get the pronouncement of it. But she doesn't understand. I have done that for years. I've looked it up, got the pronouncement of it. I can pronounce it 100 times back there in my office. I step up here, and it's like, I have no idea. Beneficence. That's close enough. In other words, great benefits. All favor and great benefits that come through, from, and through the Redeemer of the world. One of the great benefits as Lord, he's the ruler and governor of all things. We've been talking about that here tonight, about all powers been given unto Jesus in heaven and in earth. Hallelujah. That means he is able to do whatever needs to be done in my life, that divine influence, that grace of God into my life. He has the power to do that, accomplish that. And when we begin to cooperate with him, we begin to benefit from that grace and benefit from that power. Hallelujah. It may not be power to fly over the desert somewhere, although that's possible. because it happened to Philip. I even heard a personal testimony of a missionary in Mexico. I wasn't there. I didn't see it, but he was a good man of God, and another pastor friend knew him very well, and he testified to the fact that God picked up his car and moved his car and all over to another location because he had ministered faithful here longer than he should have, and he was supposed to be over there, and God just took him there. You don't have to believe that if you don't want to, but I do believe Scripture has showed us that. I'll give you another one of the miraculous power of God. This personally happened to Sister Pepper and I and the kids preaching revival in Blue Jacket, America. That's just north of Anita, if you did not know that. Little Assembly God Church driving a little 1983 Honda Accord. Silver, not silver, a little light blue. But not baby blue, it was prettier than that. And we pull up to the church, the alternator light's on. Now, some folks may not know what that means. If you're a little bit mechanically inclined, you realize that means your alternator quit working. And if you're a little more mechanically inclined, that means you realize your battery's going to go dead because there's nothing to charge it. And we pulled up to the church. The alternator light had come on between Chelsea and Blue Jacket. We pull up to the church in the parking lot. I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, you know, we're preaching revival. I've got to preach here in just a little bit. And my car just broke down. And we're at Blue Jacket at 7 o'clock at night, 6:30 at night in the evening. There's nothing to help this dilemma. So I shut it off, and so I go to start it. How many realize what happened? Click, 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 click. So can't worry about it now. We got to preach. We got to have service. We got to play. We got to sing. We got to preach. We got to have church. We got to have revival. So in the midst of this church service, I request prayer. I said, please pray for our vehicle. The alternator just went out. The battery's dead. And we don't know how we're going to get home. Let's pray God will somehow help us in this situation. We went on, had a great service, had a great move of God, had a great service. Come out to the car after it was all over, going to head home. Go out there, vroom, start it right up. Alternator light still on. Drove 36 miles all the way from Blue Jacket through Vanita, through White Oak, all the way, pulled right up in the carport of the house. Alternator light was on the whole way. Shut it off. Went to try to start it. Click, 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 click. God took us all the way home on his electrical power. He did. He did. Oh, that's, I mean, you know, just letting you know, there's power there. And it's available. Hallelujah. For those that will just sort of simply ask and believe. I mean, I didn't know God was going to do that. We just asked God to do that. He did that for us. What'd I do? Well, the next day went and got an alternator, put it on, fixed it. We went to revival the next night. Praise God. See, that was the power of God. I watched God take a big buck deer, probably 12, 14, maybe 16 point buck, coming up off the side of the road, 2 o'clock in the morning, coming back from revival somewhere in Texas. Wanted to just go ahead and make it home. We're clipping down the highway, pulling the fifth wheel camper, driving about 75 miles an hour. It was an easy cruise for the big 454 engine in the pickup truck. I mean, we're just cruising, kids are asleep, wife's probably asleep, I wasn't for sure, but my eyes, I've got them held open because we're going home and ready to be in our own bed, and I mean, we are cruising down the Indian Nation Turnpike, and we are clipping right along, there ain't nobody out there, and then just all of a sudden, right here, out of the right corner of my eye, I see this big buck coming up the road ditch, coming right up the side of the road, coming right to where I'm at. I have no time to turn. I have no time to move. I have no time to say, but Jesus. And that big buck deer just flew head over heels into the road ditch. Wow. Praise God. That's the power of the God that we serve. That's the benefits. Woo! The benefits of being greatly influenced by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, you got to understand what I'm saying here. Letting God have control of your life. Letting God's will be done in your life. I mean, we were just doing what God wanted us to do. I mean, we were sacrificing to do it. It didn't bother us because we knew it's what God wanted done. And it would not been a pretty thing had that pretty little deer, that big deer, kind of come up into the cab with us. It would have been a great catastrophe, and it could have been death. Instead, by the grace of an almighty God, it was life. Now, I really doubt if the deer got hurt. I don't think it did. Because it was just the angel of the Lord just picked him up. It was awesome. I mean, because he's running right. I mean, you just got to see this. You can't see it's in my mind, but he's just running right up here. He's right there in front of the truck, right there in front of the headlight, and I'm just waiting for the big boom. He went head over heels backwards and was gone. In the darkness. I wasn't saying just Jesus anymore. I was saying, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Because I just saw a miracle. Because there was no way that could not have been an accident had not the power of God moved on our behalf. Hallelujah. See, those are the benefits. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Hallelujah. So he's ruler and governor of all things. You see, he was in control of that deer, of that situation. He was in control of that alternator in that situation. He's the ruler and governor of all things. It may seem small to you, but he's still the ruler and the governor of it all. As Jesus, he's the Savior of all men by his passion and his death. As Christ, he's a distributor of all the divine unction which enlightens and comforts and harmonizes and purifies the mind. May this most exalted, glorious, and all-sufficient Savior be with you. I mean, surely you've heard that song of days gone by. If Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. Hallelujah. This is what Paul, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. In other words, the whole mighty power and prestige and the majesty, hallelujah, and of the grace that God has towards mankind, and then that divine influence, Lord, that influenced my life. I'm hoping it's influencing your life tonight. That influenced my life to believe my God and trust my God more and continue to work for Him and continue to be obedient unto Him. Hallelujah. He's never left me. He's never forsaken me. He's always come right on time. Hallelujah. Even if I thought He was being a little slow, I find out He's always right on time. Hallelujah. That's why I want the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ to be with me. Hallelujah. Continually. And that's why Paul wanted it with all the believers, because that's where the power's at. That grace of God, God moving before, sometimes right in the midst. And if we could only persuade and influence minds to realize grace is there before the fall, not just after. Oh my. You see, we got to understand that divine influence, that power of God. It's all right there, all available. He said, ask. Ooh, ask. Let it be known. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. The grace is right there. It will instruct. It will give directive. Glory to God. I mean, what else do you expect? God's not just going to come down and do it for you. But He is going to do everything in His power to influence you to rise up and get it done. It's called a work ethic. Woo, hallelujah. Adam was born with a work ethic. Sin entered in and stole it. Adam was never lazy until after the fall. Oh, laziness doesn't come from God. Just the opposite. The work ethic does. Hallelujah. If you got time, then you got time to do something for Jesus. You don't know what to do with your time, then get up and do something. Because you got time to do something for Jesus. Woo, hallelujah. I don't know. My entire life, I've never known what it is not to have something to do. Never. Never. I always looked for something not to do a lot of times when I was young. That's why I love school. That's why I love sports. Because school and sports get me out of the field. Get me out of the chores. Hallelujah. On the farm, when you're raised on the farm, you don't have an idle moment. All right, you got that done? Okay, go over here and do this. Okay, when you get that done, we've got this over here. And when you get that done, the fence needs fixed down there. And when you get that done, the creek down here needs fixed. And I've never known my entire life what it is not to have something to do. I have to make an appointment of doing nothing. And I don't get to do that very often. Woo, hallelujah. I'm like Brother Shelton. Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh, I'm jealous. I'm envious. Forgive me, Lord. I've got victory now. Praise God. I mean, you know, hearing nothing but the birds. Glory. That's good. I am so thankful that you got that rest. You got that break. Hallelujah. And it's about time you got back in the house of God. I'm sorry. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Grace. We're talking about grace. Now let's move on. See, I just preached to you for 20, 30 minutes on grace in one little portion of scripture, of that scripture. Are you getting the picture how vast God's word is when you start studying God's word and you start taking it word for word? We just been talking about grace for this little portion of time. Hallelujah. And we could go on and spend hours on the subject of the grace of God and the power thereof. Hallelujah. But now he said, not only the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, you'd think that'd been enough. Wow. But he said, the love of God. The love of God. Wow. Paul said, 1 Corinthians 12:31, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Why do you think the greatest is charity? I believe the greatest is charity because it is the ultimate attribute of our God. Faith is something we have to have in our God. Hope is something we have because of our God. But charity is our God. And that's why it's the greatest. That means you, when charity starts ruling our lives, that means we have been greatly influenced by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been influenced in such a magnitude that we want to be just like our Heavenly Father. Hallelujah. We were created in His image. He created us. Hallelujah. And once again, Adam Clark's commentary, the love of God. God, your Maker. Sister Sarah made mention of this. In that infinite love which induced Him to create the world and to form man in His own image, in His own likeness, that He might be capable of knowing, loving, and enjoying Him forever. And God, in the fullness of manifestations of that love, which caused Him to give His only begotten Son, to the end that they who believe on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. May this God of love and this love of God be ever with you. Hallelujah. You see, the excellent way is the love way, the charity way. You can go read 1 Corinthians chapter 13 all by yourself. Hallelujah. To get that understanding of why charity is such a great thing, because it's going to take you through every pain, every fear, every lie, everyone that mistreats you or despitefully uses you. That love of God is going to take you through all of those battles, all of that warfare, all of those fiery darts. Hallelujah. It is going to greatly influence our lives to where our behavior is nothing like what it was when Jesus found us. Wow. Glory. The love of God be with you all. Hallelujah. Oh my. His love is higher than the mountains. It's deeper than the sea. Glory, glory. There's nothing, Paul said, nothing can separate us from the love of God, because it is His attribute, it's His character, it's His nature, it's everything about Him. It's what sparked our creation. Hallelujah. It's what brought our salvation through Jesus Christ. Wow. Can we not see then we need to be greatly influenced by the love of God so that we can greatly influence other people and convince them of the love of God? Hallelujah. The only way we will greatly influence others is if we are greatly influenced by God. Hallelujah. I thoroughly believe those disciples and those early believers, Brother Jason was just exhorting on it. I love it. Yeah, praise God. Hallelujah. He was exhorting on it. They were going forth. They were carrying revival. Hallelujah. Why? Because they were in love with God. They had experienced the love of God. They were greatly influenced by the love of God. They were influenced by the apostles and their teaching and their boldness. They were influenced by the infilling of the Holy Ghost. And they went forth. Well, the Bible says, turn the world upside down. I think that means they greatly influenced the world around them. I was thinking about that when Jason was talking about that and quoting that. You know, why did they say they turned the world upside down? Because they brought heaven down to earth. Hallelujah. And they ushered earth up to heaven. Glory to God. They prayed. Oh, wow. And the place was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Heaven came down, and then the earth's voices went up. Hallelujah. Woo, souls were saved. Glory to God. That's they turned the world upside down because heaven was coming down. Hallelujah. And they were readily making themselves available. And they knew that they had to stay. And they were admonished, and this is what Paul was doing, to keep the love of God in their lives. Jason was reading out of Revelation chapter 1. Remember with the first church? You have lost your first love. That means the love of God was not with them. they had left it behind. Don't leave God behind. No, 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 no. Get right there in His presence, in His grace, in His divine influence. Woo, do you know what this is? This is divine influence. Hallelujah. This is the Word of God. It will influence your life greatly if you will allow it and put forth the effort. See, there's the work ethic. Put forth the effort to put it in. Put it in. You know, that's what I tell my students all the time. He says, you can't ask God to help you pass a test if you did not study. I said, don't even try. I said, what you need to do is ask God to help you study more. And by doing that, you'll pass your test, and God will have helped you study and helped you pass your test. But if you want God to help you and you have not done one thing to help yourself, He can't help you. You have nothing there. Oh. Woo! Hallelujah! Glory! Man, I know that one was deep, went over a lot of heads. Praise God. Woo! Praise God. Hallelujah. The love of God, let it be with you. And the communion of the Holy Ghost. Oh, thank God for the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. The third person of the Trinity. He's God. He's God. But He's got a part that plays, oh, like the Father doesn't. And Jesus has played His part. Now He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. And the Holy Ghost is doing His thing. Woo, He's playing His part. He's building the church. He's empowering the saints. He's drawing souls to salvation. He's transforming the lives of the believers. And it takes communion. Communion. The communion of the Holy Ghost. May the Holy Spirit, that divine and eternal energy, I like that, which proceeds from the Father and the Son, that heavenly fire that gives light and life, that purifies and refines, sublimes and exalts, comforts and invigorates, make you all partakers with Himself, the communion of the Holy Ghost. That word communion, it's a Greek word. Of course it's a Greek word. It's the New Testament. It's a Greek word. It means partnership. Woo! Glory. Is the Holy Ghost your partner? Or you're the sole proprietor of your life? Partnership. Communion means partnership, participation. Ooh, do you participate with the Holy Ghost? Hallelujah. When He begins to move, do you participate or are you a spectator? Oh, we've talked about that many years ago. Hallelujah. Oh, my. Participation with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Glory to our God. My. Communication. Fellowship, communion. It's in other words, the Holy Ghost having fellowship, communion, signifying properly participation, having things in common, partaking with each other. Wow. Don't go anywhere without the Holy Ghost. Woo, glory. I mean, you know, they preach it and preach it and preach it. If the Holy Ghost can't go there, you don't need to go there either. Glory. But I understand, you understand, the Holy Ghost goes everywhere. Because He's going to deal in the hearts of men and He's going to pull on the hearts of men. But the reality is, don't you try to go somewhere without Him. Because you need to be full of Him. And then you need to make sure you have that participation with Him, that fellowship with Him. That He is right there. You don't try to make a decision without Him. Hallelujah. I mean, you know, we use the terminology, don't make any decisions without Jesus, or let Jesus make all the decisions for us. Hallelujah. But we're still really, the Holy Ghost is the one that brings that all alive. He's the one that quickens the Word, brings it alive in us, and brings it to fruition in us, and brings it to a faith in us. Hallelujah. But we've got to have that communion with Him, that fellowship with Him. We've got to give ourselves as those yielded vessels unto our God, that the Holy Ghost then can work the works of God through us. And not only the works of God, but work the works of God in us. Oh, man. You know, how are you ever going to overcome that old cantankerous spirit you get sometimes? Woo! Hallelujah to the Lamb. Praise be to our God. How are you going to overcome stubbornness? Oh, man. How are you ever going to overcome pride? My, my, my. If the Holy Ghost is not your friend and you take Him with you everywhere you go, because He's not going to stay around where pride's at. He's going to step away from that. Humility, He's right there to clothe us. Oh, my, the power of God, the presence of God. Hallelujah. So we see then, I mean, the Holy Ghost is the key factor for the believer for everything else to come into action into our lives. Hallelujah. Glory. This points out the astonishing privileges of true believers to have communion with God's Spirit, to share in all His gifts and graces, walk in its light. Through Him, they have the fullest confidence that they are of God, that He is their Father and friend, and has blotted out all their iniquities, and this they know by the Spirit which He has given them. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God, that we're saved, that we're washed. We know this because of the Spirit of God. There's been regeneration, hallelujah, and the kingdom sets up in our hearts, hallelujah. And then we're baptized in the Holy Ghost, stepping into a greater allegiance and a greater communion with the Holy Ghost of God. I mean, He's the one that brings about the born-again experience. He's the one that quickens our heart that we need to be saved. He's the one that reveals to us our condition. He's the one then that washes away all the past sin by the power of the blood. The Holy Ghost has always been the active one, so to speak, in the Godhead. I mean, go all the way back to the book of Genesis, and there He was, just brooding over and waiting for God to say something, and we did it. Glory. And that's how He still is. He comes into the house of God just waiting for the command of Christ to do whatever needs to be done. And there He comes. We're showing up right there in your mind to influence you greatly of your need and where He wants to change you. And when we just say, yes! It happened. It just happened. But if we sat there and said, oh, now, is this God or is this just me? Do I really want to do this? What will everybody else think? And, oh, my. I mean, they'll all think, and, oh, me, oh, my, and why, why. Yeah, you just lost the victory right there because you gave place to the devil instead of being greatly influenced by God. Hallelujah. You see, I'm after bringing us to an immediate obedience to the Holy Ghost of God. Hallelujah. Understanding, being influenced by that grace. Hallelujah. Oh, my, that love of God. And then letting it all come into action through the Holy Ghost of God. Letting the Holy Ghost direct my paths. Hallelujah. Oh, praise be to our God. This is all as absurd as it is impossible. Now, I skipped a part. He goes through a rhetoric here He's addressing a problem. We don't have this problem. But he's addressing, and maybe we do, I don't know. He says, is it possible that a man shall be a partaker of the Holy Ghost and not know it? That he shall be full of light and love and not know it? That he shall have the spirit of adoption by which he can cry, Abba, Father, and yet know nothing of his relationship to God, but by inference or from indirect proofs? In a word, that he shall have the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost with him, and all the while not knowing nothing certain of the grace as to his proportion to it, feeling nothing warming from the love as to its part in him, and nothing energetic from the communion as to his participation in the gifts and graces of this divine energy. I mean, he's saying, is none of this affecting your life? You don't even know if you're saved. You don't even know if you're filled with the Holy Ghost. You don't even know if God loves you. How can you say you're a Christian and not know any of these things? I don't know really who coined this little phrase and really the whole situation around it, but it was just a simple child asking an adult, how did you get so old and know nothing? Are you smarter than a fifth grader? I really don't even know where that came from, to be honest with you. But the reality, he's making a sarcastic statement here, because this is in God's Word, and there are actually a lot of people that quote this scripture. I mean, I can relate to this. I was raised in a church where we quoted scripture all the time, quoted truth all the time, but it had no life in it that we felt anything or changed us or moved us. I mean, it's just dead and dry. But it was truth, but it wasn't alive. And that's what he's rebuking, so to speak. How can the grace of God not move you? How can the love of God not melt you? How can the Holy Ghost not excite you and energize you? What was he saying? How can you sit in church and do nothing but sleep? Glory. My. I'm sorry, Robert. Did I wake you up? Okay, praise God. I had to do that. Praise God. I'm sorry. Pastor's terrible tonight. I guess he's struggling or something. I don't know. You see, every genuine Christian who maintains a close walk with God can have full evidence of his acceptance with God. Oh, hallelujah. And the doctrine that explains away this privilege and softens it down to nothing by making the most gracious and safe state consistent with innumerable doubts and fears and general uncertainty is not of God. Oh, no. Because God's grace changes us. God's grace influences us. God's love changes us. God's love influences us. The Holy Ghost of God, oh hallelujah, is one of the greatest gifts that you and I can have as a child of God. I mean, every one of us are in complete agreement. What an awesome service we had this morning. Why did we say that? Because the Spirit of God was moving here in a special way. The grace of God, the divine influence of God was moving in this house in a special way. And we can rejoice about it. Whether we were partakers of it or not, we can rejoice about it because we saw it going on, realized it was going on. I hope you were part of it. Hallelujah, because that's why he came. That's why he did what he did. You see, we must be greatly influenced and long, hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Oh, wow. They shall be filled. Glory. You see, when Paul made this closing statement, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all, that was one of the most powerful statements that he could make to those believers. Because they immediately then would go to what we've just shared here tonight, of what the grace of God had brought to their lives and how the love of God had been manifested in the sacrifice of His only begotten Son, and how the gift of the Holy Ghost brings energy into the church, energy into our lives. This is why I'm talking about a work ethic, because that energy, whoo, makes you want to do what's right. If you don't have that energy, you'll defeat yourself quickly right up here. Oh, I don't need to do that. Oh, I don't have to do that. Well, I can still go to heaven and I don't have to do that. You missed it. You lost it. It's not a matter of that, of what I have to. It's a matter of what I get to do. I get to live holy. I get to live righteous. I get to live with integrity. I get to have a work ethic. I get to have the life of Jesus Christ flowing in my life. Woo, hallelujah. I get to. It's not a, I can't. I get to. I get to live like Jesus. I get to be like Jesus. I get to be conformed to the image of Christ. I get the opportunity to pray. I get the opportunity to sing. I get the opportunity to praise God. I get the opportunity to come to the house of God. It's all a blessing from above. It's joy unspeakable and full of glory. Oh, praise our God. Hallelujah. 2 Peter 1:4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Your greatest enemy, my greatest enemy, is lust. Whether it be lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, or pride of life. That is our enemy. But God, through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, through the love of our God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost, has brought to us the opportunity and the privilege of being partakers of His divine nature. You can have it if you want it. Hallelujah. And He has provided for it. We do not have to live like we used to live before we met Jesus. Hallelujah. We don't have to be full of pride. We don't have to be full of lust. We don't have to have our way. When we're ready to surrender our will to His, hallelujah, we have nothing but joy. Hallelujah. We have nothing but power. You lose power when you take the rule of your life. Well, how do you do that? Well, when temptation comes, you throw down grace, you pick up flesh, and you surrender to your flesh. That's you having your will and not God having His. Because if God's will be done, I'll overcome that temptation by grace. Woo! By divine influence. What's divine influence? Right here. Flee! Woo! Get away from it! Don't sit there and make plans on your phone to do it. Woo. Don't pick up that phone and go where you know you ain't supposed to go. Because you know if you go there, it's going to lead to the wrong place. No, let the grace of God have divine influence in your life. And say out loud if you have to, no! Hallelujah. You see, that's what Joseph did. Potiphar's house. I don't know if you ever read that story, heard that story or not. Temptation comes. Potiphar's wife is trying to allure Joseph into adultery, fornication. basically, he leaves his coat behind and he hollers, "No!" Joseph Angel grabs up that word "no," flies right into the throne room of God, releases it before the Lord, and it says, "Yes!" Woo! Because when you're saying no to the enemy, you are automatically saying yes to God. And when you're saying yes to God, you are automatically saying no to the enemy. Hallelujah. And so we can be partakers of the divine nature, but it's not without a free will choice. Why does the Bible say, "Choose you this day who you will serve"? That doesn't say it quite like this, but I think it fits. Are you going to serve yourself like your forefathers before you? Or are you going to serve the Lord? Because that's the choices we have today. Are you going to serve yourself? You're going to do your own will? You're going to plan your own plans? You're going to do what you want to do, how you want to do it, where you want to do it? Are you going to surrender that all and with joy follow Jesus? Are you going to realize what he's done for you? Are you just going to slap him in the face and say, "What's the difference? You'll forgive me anyway"? That was a stout one, wasn't it? Well, that's what the Bible says. When we willfully sin, we crucify the Lord fresh and anew. You see, we talk about that he's never going to come back again to die on Calvary, but if we're not careful, we'll keep crucifying him all through our lives instead of walk in the power that he's provided. You see, you're never going to be able to greatly influence anybody if you keep crucifying the Savior. Woo! You're never going to be able to greatly influence anybody. No, not if you won't become a partaker of his divine nature. Hallelujah. You've got to find the joy. Oh, the joy in that love of God, the joy in that grace of God, the joy in that communion with the Holy Ghost. There's just nothing greater than being in the will of God in our lives. Hallelujah. Oh my, I want to close with this. You may think it doesn't fit, but I think it does, because I want to be greatly influenced by my God so that I can turn around and greatly influence somebody by my God. Hallelujah. Here's 5 guideposts to govern our lives. 5 things that we can start doing in our lives that will help us to continue to be greatly influenced by God. There's probably more. These were just 5 that someone has pinned down, and I just happened to find them and thought they would be good to share. Number 1. This is going to be a rough one. To thank God for every adverse event. That's rough, isn't it? Most of the time we're just griping and complaining when things don't go our way. But here's a guidepost, something that's going to help you be great influence and to be greatly influenced by God. To thank God for every adverse event. This next one is kind of humorous, but yet at the same time, it's just kind of rough. It says, to hold a bolt of lightning in my hand rather than to speak against a brother. How many want to hold a bolt of lightning in your hand? Man, I wish I had hot shot we had from the farm. No, actually, I've got a stun gun at the house. I should have brought it. Wow. Could have let Matthew come up here and let me poke him and see if he wanted to hang on to that. Hallelujah. Yeah, I mean, I'd rather be electrocuted than speak adversely about a brother. Oh, my. Learning how to control that most unruly member of that tongue. Wow. Yeah. To pay any price. Think about it. To pay any price in order to be obedient to the Holy Ghost. I mean, that's a good guidepost. I mean, I got to be ready to pay any price to be instantly obedient to the Spirit of God. I mean, you know, any price, that means denying myself something I may really want, but the Holy Ghost says, no. Oh, do we have that kind of walk where the Holy Ghost can say no? Or do we have to have 102 scriptures before we think it's God? Oh, wow. Any price to be obedient to the Holy Ghost. To always administer in love and never to govern in anger. I found one thing, you know, when I was learning how to train my children, that it was a whole lot easier to discipline them if I was mad about it than to go ahead and discipline them even if I wasn't mad. And so what I had to learn to do was to discipline them for any disobedience, and anger could not be a factor. It was just the fact of disobedience, and the discipline had to come, and I had to be consistent with it or it would be of none effect. And so it's not a matter, hang on with me, you can talk to my kids, you'll find out if they acted up in church and I told them, you're going to get a spanking when you get home. First thing they did on the way home was fake falling asleep. I guess their mind frame was, well, if I'm asleep, maybe Dad won't spank me. My memory was a whole lot better back then. And so when we would get home, no matter what time it was, whoever had the offense, if it was one of them or both of them, go to your room. I'll be there in a little bit. Always loved to send them in there. Let them sit there. It was more effective a lot of times than the spanking was. Then I'd go in there and I would administer the discipline for their disobedience. Who was actually being more disciplined in that circumstance? I was. I was having to discipline myself and put forth the extra effort. Here I was tired, weary, wore out, and I didn't feel like having to mess with this. But I knew I must. I knew I must. To administer in love and never to govern in anger. I have found through the years, anger does no one any good. You cannot be led by the Holy Ghost when you're mad. No, because why? Well, number one, you're being led by yourself. That's why you're mad. You cannot be led by the Spirit of God in anger. Why? Because it's totally against the Spirit of God. He's love, gentleness, meekness, temperance, faith, kindness, goodness. Tell me, anger falls nowhere in there. What is anger? It's a fit. It's a selfish fit. Things didn't go my way, so I'm mad. That's what it is. Well, I don't know why I'm sharing all this. I mean, Sister Lindsay, when she was little, she could pout like big time. I think they going my way. That was one of her little deals. I'm sorry, sis. But it was, oh, things ain't going my way. Nope, they're not, sis. They're not. Oh, praise our God. Glory. To administer in love and never to govern in anger. And here's one that you would think wouldn't be hard at all, but stop and think about it. Until I made it a point to do this in my life personally, I never did it. To pay 3 compliments to somebody every day. Do you ever say thank you to anybody during the day? Do you ever compliment somebody during the day? Are you always just like, well, you just did what you're supposed to do. I can see my school students just loving me to death. I just walk around and say, man, is that all you can do? Well, sorry, you made a 59. It didn't pass. You got to take it again. Oh, my. I'm glad I don't act like that. I couldn't even stand myself that way. Oh, yeah. I've given them a mean face before. They don't take it very serious. We'll not go there. We may need to go there again. Isaac, how you faring, son? Praise God. You doing well at work? Do y'all need some help to get him motivated? I got the very thing. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Pay 3 compliments every day. Praise God. Tell somebody they've done a good job. Tell somebody they look good. Thank somebody for any service they've done for you. Husbands, let your wives know you appreciate the work they do in the house. Go ahead and help them sometimes. Well, of course, daughters. Make sure you tell your dad thank you. Yeah. Well, praise the Lord. See, that's what we're after. That's what we want. We want to be greatly influenced by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, by the love of God, and by the communion of the Holy Ghost. Stand with me tonight if you would. Hallelujah. God in heaven. Hallelujah. I can look back through the years and there's been men and women that have greatly influenced my life. But I can say here tonight there is no one that has influenced my life like the Lord Jesus Christ has. Hallelujah. Because all those that influenced my life greatly were leading me to Jesus Christ. They were leading me into the Word of God. They were leading me into the ways of God. They were helping me build my relationship with my God. Hallelujah. And thus, I was greatly influenced because they always led me back to the Master, back to the Word. They just did not tell me what I needed to do, but they showed me what His Word said. His Word said. Greatly influenced. And you see, when it comes from the heart, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Hallelujah. When it comes from the heart, when you invite somebody to the house of God, let there be joy there. Let them experience Christ. Hallelujah. Let them see the reality of how much you enjoy being in God's house. Hallelujah to the Lamb. You want to greatly influence somebody to come to the house of God, then you be faithful to the house of God, and you will influence anybody that's around you or anybody that knows you. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. You ask somebody, where are you going to find Brother Pepper on a Sunday? They'll all tell you the same thing. He's going to be in church. I ain't going to be here next Sunday. We're going to be on vacation, Brother Shelton. Ah, praise God. Why? Because that's where I want to be. Where do you want to be? It's evident. You want to be in the house of God because you're here. Unless somebody made you come. I don't know. Is anybody in here made to come besides Weston? Praise God. Oh. Oh, I think we're all glad that we're in the house of God tonight. That we've been in the house of God this day. Oh, my. Oh, my. Praise God. Let's lift our hands in thanksgiving to the Lord. Praise be to our God. Father in heaven, Lord, we're rejoicing, God, in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're rejoicing in that divine influence upon our lives. Hallelujah. Lord, that you do not leave us alone, Lord God, but you continually, Lord, sway our hearts, move our minds, and reveal your word unto us, O God. Thank you, Lord, for the times of refreshing in the presence of your Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Lord, we are rejoicing in our Christian life. Hallelujah to the Lamb. We thank you for the power of the blood, the power of the word. Oh, Lord, the power of preparation, God. Just given my heart, given my soul, given my mind, hallelujah, letting you direct my paths. Oh, God of heaven, thank you, Lord, that you're keeping a record, Lord, God of my life, hallelujah. Oh, Lord Jesus, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, hallelujah. Oh, Lord, for your hand upon our lives. Glory to the King. Glory to the King. Praise be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is there anybody in here tonight that you need special prayer? You want to be anointed with oil and you want to be prayed for? I'll give you that opportunity here tonight. Glory to our God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Brother Shelton, Brother Jason, Brother Lucas. Praise the Lord. Let's come. Anybody else? You want to be anointed with oil? Prayed for tonight. Your opportunity. Hallelujah. To ask. Glory. Glory. Praise our God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Brother Jason, would you anoint him with oil? Let's, church, come. Gather round. Hallelujah. Let's pray for these here tonight.
Revival fire. love.